Dawn. It's okay. Great to be with you this morning. Welcome to this call.
Yeah, so good to be with you. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about what our call is going to be about today. So our call is going to be a call about supporting versus teaching. And we're going to talk about what that means, what we mean by that. And I think that you'll find it to be really helpful and supportive to you as you interact with people, as you learn how to create authentic power in a deeper way and be in spiritual partnership. So, beloved, I'm wondering if you could say a few things. We had some ideas about what we wanted to ask them first. This is going to be a very interactive call because we're not on video, and we want to really interact with you during this time. So be ready.
For those of you who are coming to the Life School new, I suggest that you read The Seed of the Soul if you haven't done that already, because we'll be discussing things on this call and answering questions on this call that people who have read The Seed of the Soul and are practicing creating authentic power have to ask. But even if you haven't, because you're new, in the process you'll be able to learn quite a bit. One of the things that we talk about a lot is spiritual partnership. That's partnership between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth. That means for the purpose of creating authentic power. So that means that when you are in a relationship, and that relationship is a relationship between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth, that's a spiritual partnership. The thing is, there aren't a lot of them, because most people don't know what creating authentic power is, even though they long for it. And most people don't know what it's like to have a relationship with an equal who is also committed to creating authentic power, which means developing emotional awareness and practicing responsible choices. So when spiritual partners interact, they interact in a way that they intend to support one another in creating authentic power. So when they do that, they'll often ask questions such as, oh, where are you feeling what you're feeling? If the person they're talking to is rambling on about a story or a drama, they'll ask, where in your body are you feeling that? For example, your throat or your chest or your solar plexus. Or they'll say, what are you feeling there? And often they might say, what is your intention for speaking to me? Or what was your intention for speaking to that person? And you'll see as you begin to create authentic power that these are very, very helpful questions. They're helpful because if you are in a frightened part of your personality, which means a part that's impatient or angry or jealous or resentful, you might for the moment forget that these experiences are coming from a part of your personality and not from your personality itself, not from the unchangeable ground of your being. So when your spiritual partner asks you a question like that, it can be very helpful to you because your friends won't do that. Your friends will sympathize, empathize, explain what you have to do to feel better, talk about when they felt bad, the way you're feeling bad. And none of this helps you create authentic power. It just helps you stay encapsulated in a frightened part of your personality. So the topic that Linda and I want to talk with you about today to help you understand is, are you, when you interact with someone, and in particular a spiritual partner, how do you know when you're supporting or when you're not supporting? And by the way, usually when you're not supporting, if you know about authentic power and the other person doesn't, you might find yourself explaining it, what it is, how it happens, what you need to do to create it. In other words, teaching. So there's a difference between supporting and teaching.
It's true. I think the thing that's most important is again, we haven't mentioned this, but the intention. So if you're sharing with somebody something, it depends on if you're coming from love or you're coming from fear. We'll go into that much more on this call. But, beloved, I was thinking if we could just give one scenario that, and because I'd like them to think about, is this supportive or not supportive? so that they can get a sense of what we're talking about, and then we can talk more about that.
Oh, sure. Sure. Let me think. Well, here's one of my favorite examples. It happened many years ago. A new person at an event had just lost his job. He hadn't expected to lose his job, and frightened parts of his personality were shaken by it. Now, another person at the event had been studying authentic power for a year or two, and that person made a point of talking to the first person privately. Excuse me. His support for that shaken colleague was something like this, as I recall. He said, "Look, I've been in business for decades. It's what I love and do best. Getting a new job is not that difficult, even in these times," because this was at the beginning of the recession. "Here's what you need to do. You need to be willing to travel a little. Go to cities where the economy is growing. Do your research. Look around and see where buildings are being built and where jobs are expanding. When you do that, when you pick a city, go directly to the vice president of a company that you want to speak with. And don't make an appointment. Especially don't go through the HR department. They can't do anything for you. Tell the secretary when you arrive who you are and who you want to see, and be prepared. If he doesn't invite you in, sit down and wait. Take the initiative. Tell him what you've done in business and what you will do for his company, of course, once you get a chance to talk with him. If he doesn't invite you in, just stay there. Be sure to do your research very well before you show up in his office. And if he doesn't hire you, or if he doesn't see you, do the same thing again until you've seen the people you want to see in that city. In other words, maybe you're going to Kansas City or Chicago or whatever city you see is still growing, jobs are still being created, buildings are being built. Find a company that you relate to, that you want to work with. Go to the vice president that you want to speak with of that company, and don't leave until you talk to him. Just sit there all day." And then the second person said to the first, "This works. I know. If someone in my waiting room is still waiting at the end of the day and won't leave, eventually I'll see him. In fact, I'm looking forward to seeing him because I see he's got initiative." Then he followed up his advice to the person who lost his job with some encouragement. He said something like this, "Look, you're a good-looking guy with a good personality. People want to like you. You have a good resume. People in business are looking for you to hire. Do your part." And that was what he said to support his colleague at our event.
So,
support our colleague in creating authentic power, that is.
Yeah.
Because they were spiritual partners.
Right. So what I want to do is I want to hear from you if you feel this was supportive or not supportive. So what I want to do is take I want you to raise your hand by pressing 1 on your keypad if you feel this interaction was supportive. So right now, if you can get to your phone, on your phone, press 1 on your keypad. If you think this was a supportive interaction, press 1 on your keypad. And do that now. I'll give you a moment to do that.
Okay, people are still raising their hands. The question is, do you think this was supportive, what the one spiritual partner said to the other at an event about creating authentic power? Okay, let's just record that number and move on to the next question.
Okay. Now, if you think that that was not supportive, What I want you to do is raise your hand by pressing 2 on your keypad right now. So do that right now. Press 2 on your keypad if you don't think that that was supportive.
Okay, well, let's leave it at that. You can leave the hand. You can leave the hands up.
And so I have one more question.
I'll leave the hands up next time.
Okay. I have one more question. If you aren't sure, you're just not sure whether it was or not, because maybe you're in that group where you're just not sure, press 3 on your keypad. You're just not sure whether it was or it wasn't. So go ahead and press 3 on your keypad if you're not positive about it. Not sure whether it was supportive or not, just press 3.
Okay.
All right.
Well, here's the way it shook out. Should we share this?
No, I think what I'd like to do first is I'd like to know. I'd like you to raise your hand if you feel that this was supportive, and I'd like you to share why you think it was supportive. And I'm going to also ask people who think that it wasn't supportive why they think it wasn't supportive. So first, we're going to start with if you think it was supportive, then I want you to just make an argument. Why was it supportive? Why was this a supportive thing to support someone in creating authentic power? So go ahead and raise your hand.
So press 1 on your keyboard and
on your keypad.
And
let us know why.
And we'll see that you have some thoughts you want to share. Now, I don't see the people who had their hands up. Oh, here we go.
Okay, so I'm going to call on one person first. Okay, so let me call on Marjan.
Hello.
Marjan. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, boy, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Yes, you're hearing me.
There seems to be your voice is very wavery.
Are you on a cell phone, Marjan? We're not hearing you, Marjan. You're indecipherable. Can you try calling back on a landline if you can, or back on this phone if you can.
Yeah. So we're going to move on because we can't understand anything you're saying. It sounds like you're underwater. Okay. Thank you, though. I'm so glad you're on the call. So I'd like to call on, no one who thought it was, so if you thought it was supportive, I would really like to hear from you. So raise your hand. Okay, Stephanie. We're going to unmute you in just a moment.
Okay.
All right, Stephanie. Yes, you thought it was supportive, and why was that?
Well, I did think it was supportive, but now I'm unsure.
So now you're in the unsure
I'm
part?
A little unsure now. Because nobody's raising their hand, I'm just thinking, okay, I'm kind of caught up in this fear of being wrong. But I thought it was supportive. Yeah, I thought it was supportive at first because I felt like the person that was the spiritual partner that was supporting was coming from a loving part of himself and expanding the other person's awareness as to options that he could have that maybe he hadn't thought about. But now I'm unsure because I feel like, is that what spiritual partners are supposed to do? Are they supposed to be giving answers? Or are they just supposed to be thinking about where that person's coming from fear or love? And so that's where I am.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good thought.
Okay, well, thank
Good
you
thought.
So much for sharing. And we're going to go on to another person's ideas. So let's go to Jean-Luc. Hi, Jean-Luc.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. To me, the first thing I thought is that he didn't go into the poor me. He didn't go in the drama, so that made me feel like he was, like, supporting. But then, yeah, I still felt it was support, maybe a little bit too much of caretaking by all the explanation and stuff, but I still feel it was supportive because he did not get into the drama of, oh, my God, I lost my job. So he just kind of support that way, but he didn't go into how do you feel, where do you feel it, and try to make him go that way. But I still feel there was kind of a support for a new person that don't understand the whole process.
I didn't understand the last thing you said, Jean-Luc. Could you move your phone a little away from your mouth? Maybe that'll help you be clearer.
Okay, so can you hear me better?
Yeah, a little bit. I understood that at first you thought it was good support, and then you had second thoughts and thought, well, maybe it got too much into the drama of, oh my gosh, I lost my job, and was caretaking, and then I couldn't hear the very last thing you said.
Okay, yeah, no, I felt he didn't go into the drama, but I find he was caretaking by a lot of explanation, but I still feel it was supportive, but we could have went a little bit more about asking the person itself how they felt now they should do approach it or which frightened part, but I still feel it was supportive in many ways.
Okay, Jean-Luc, thank you. Thank you so much. So now I'm going to call on people who think that it wasn't supportive and why. So raise your hand by pressing 2 on your keypad if you think it wasn't supportive and why. Okay, I'm going to call on Suha.
Hello?
Hi, Suha.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. Very clear.
Okay, great. So I didn't think it was supportive because I take spiritual partnership as helping somebody gain awareness about themselves. And so by providing his friend with the answers, he didn't really help the friend explore what he was feeling inside. What did this mean to him? And so that's why I didn't think it was supportive. I think that when you give somebody answers, you take away their ability to really be in tune with who they are and to try to understand what's going on within them.
Okay, Suha, thank you. Appreciate that.
Sure.
I'm going to move on to Sharon. Sharon, we'll open the microphone. There you go.
Hello.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. No, I didn't think it was supportive, you know, in helping the person create authentic power. I felt like it, you know, the person was speaking to the frightened part that was active in the other person, caretaking, really some of the same things that the people right before me said, that it wasn't helping the person learn how to create authentic power.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now I'm going to call on Deb. We'll open
Hello?
Your microphone. There you go, Deb.
Hello.
Hi, Deb.
Hi. It just seemed like the person that was directing was really coming from frightened parts of their personality with trying to control the other individual. And I'm not sure if there was some superiority, frightened parts of superiority happening to this is the way and the only way and not really trying to create a connection with the other person I'm wondering if their intention in their mind was for the good, but a lot of frightened parts of personality with control started to take over.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. I'm going to call on one more person.
So Deb had another perception. Maybe the person who was trying to support had an element of superiority. So people have mentioned caretaking and superiority.
And no connection.
And no connection.
Right. I'm going to call on one more. How about David?
This is David.
Hi, David.
Hi. Yeah, I mean, I saw it kind of echo what Suha and Deb said. I felt like by the one person giving advice, you know, there was really a missed opportunity for the person who lost their job to maybe explore what feelings they had about losing their job. And I got on the call late, so I caught the tail end of it. But I assume that the person who lost their job did not ask for that advice. So when the other person was giving him all that advice, it sounds like they may have had a frightened part of their personality that just started giving a lot of information without even being asked. Which I've had that happen in myself before.
Mm-hmm.
Start giving advice just compulsively.
And how did you feel when that happened?
Well, you know, a lot of times I will notice it. I mean, I'll feel a little tightness in my stomach when I'm in it, but sometimes it's still so familiar I don't stop myself. And I have noticed in the other person, as soon as I start doing that, I can kind of feel them kind of step back a little bit. Like, oh, there we go. You know, so the connection definitely is broken at that point.
You know, I'm having a little trouble hearing you. Can you speak a little louder, get closer to the phone?
Yeah, the last part was, you know, when I found myself in that frightened part and just compulsively giving advice, I've also noticed the other person kind of step back a little bit, you know, like, oh, you know, this person's pushing something on me. And the connection between us is definitely broken at that point.
So how, when you did that, did you notice that you were in a frightened part of your personality when you were giving the advice? And that you actually did feel disconnected? Is that what you're saying, or the other person felt that?
Well, I think the other person felt that, but I have noticed when I've acted that way that I would feel like a tightness in my stomach. But a lot of times I would just keep going on anyway. You know, so it was kind of like beneath the surface of my awareness. I think because it was so familiar, I wasn't truly aware of what I was doing.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm going to call on Patrice.
Hello.
Hi, Patrice.
Hi. Well, I've learned from experience that when I say to somebody, this is what you should do, I'm coming from a frightened part of my personality. And that's what it felt like, two people speaking from their frightened part. And one person may have felt really good and in control, giving advice and knowing what to do, and the other person probably felt really good getting an answer, but it was just, it felt like frightened parts for both of them speaking to each other, and so both of their frightened parts felt really good, probably.
So in other words, they weren't really creating authentic power. They were in frightened parts of their personality, talking to each other. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and like Deb said, no connection between them, really. Yeah. But it probably
right.
felt really good for each of them.
Yes, sometimes when you're in a frightened part, you don't know it, and it feels good to have someone give you advice or to give advice or to be taught something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, Patrice. Well, thank you all for your sharing. So which one is it really? To answer that question, you can ask yourself, what is it that you're supporting? When you're supporting a spiritual partner, what are you supporting that spiritual partner in doing? Are you supporting that spiritual partner in getting another job? Is that what you're a spiritual partner for? They've got career counselors for that and human relationship departments for that. But when you support, when we use the word support, and we say supporting a spiritual partner, the thing that you're supporting a spiritual partner in doing is creating authentic power. And that means learning about himself or herself from his experiences, which he can't do if he's not aware of his experiences. Mm-hmm. Of course, in the case of the person who lost his job, he was aware of panic. He was aware of fear. He was probably aware of a lot of other things, embarrassment. But he wasn't aware of his emotions in the way that people who are creating authentic power become aware of their emotions.
Exactly.
They become aware of their emotions in a very accurate and fail-safe way. They become aware of their emotions like anger, jealousy, embarrassment, resentment, outrage, in terms of physical sensations in their bodies. For example, and in particular places like, for example, their chest area or their solar plexus area or their throat area. And they'll put their attention in these areas. And they may find physical sensations that are uncomfortable or hurt in those areas. For example, they may find that they have a sharp stabbing pain in the right side of their chest. Or they might discover that they have a constriction in the center of their throat about the size of a golf ball. Or they might find that they have a roiling or disturbing or tumultuous experience in their solar plexus area. Those are the physical sensations, the kind of physical sensations that come with frightened parts of your personality. So if you just say, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm light, I'm depressed, I'm down, I'm up, that's not emotional awareness. That's emotional ignorance. But as people who are creating authentic power are developing emotional awareness of the emotional energy currents that are flowing through them and where they are aware of them and what they are aware of them as in terms of physical sensations. So that is one of the things that you would help a spiritual partner to do, to become aware of his or her emotions.
And so
you would say, instead of, oh my gosh, you lost your job, my God, you've got three kids, this is really important. Well, let's see what we can do to help you. I mean, this is a major dramatic event. Instead, that's what a friend might say, or an unconscious friend, to say the very least. But a spiritual partner would say, well, where are you feeling that? You know how to look for your emotions. Put your attention in your chest area. Are you feeling anything there? Your throat area? Solar plexus area. What do you feel there? What's it feeling like?
But I really need to get a job. So how is that going to help me get a job?
As long as you're being controlled by a frightened part of your personality, you're not seeing very broadly. It's like having blinders on. You're in panic. You're in fear. You don't see your options. You don't see possibilities. You don't see things that you can do. Now, if somebody says, here's how you can support yourself in creating authentic power, and he goes through these things, one of them I've spoken about having to do with emotional awareness, and another might be looking at the conversation that the two people are having in the moment. One spiritual partner might say to the first, are you talking from this part of your personality or about this part of your personality? Are you talking to me about a part of your personality that is frightened or terrified? Or are you talking to me from the part of your personality that's frightened and terrified? That would be helpful too, because to create authentic power, it's necessary to learn how to step back a little bit from your experiences and to realize that no matter what they are, they're coming from a part of your personality, and that you have many parts of your personality, and that not all of them see your circumstance in the same way. A frightened part of your personality may see this as a disaster, a catastrophe. And another part of your personality, a loving part, might see it as a way to learn about yourself and how to change yourself in ways that you need to change yourself in order to move beyond your fears.
In other words, you're saying that, at least this is what I'm getting, is that someone who loses their job is actually being given a wonderful opportunity. But if he can only see it through the lens of frightened parts of his personality that feel like it's a disaster, that feel like this shouldn't happen to me, that feel embarrassed, that feel all the things that he's feeling, and then someone tries to give me advice when I'm feeling that way, and then I go for their advice, so I'm savior searching, I'm trying to do what they say so I can get a new job, instead of using this amazing opportunity that they have to learn about themselves, to see, wow, look at all this fear that's come up. There's something here for me to learn. I want to really feel the depth of this pain, of these frightened parts, so I can see clearly. I want to challenge them. I do not want them to control me. I know that they're still a part of me. And so what I want to do is I want to open myself to what I can learn from this, to feel it fully, to open myself, to be able to see from a loving part of my personality the possibilities of healing this part of me,
yes,
and
right,
seeing what else is possible for me in my life.
That's what a spiritual partner would share with another spiritual partner who just lost his job or had just lost her job. Because spiritual partners are committed to creating authentic power themselves and to supporting one another in creating authentic power. Now, by the way, if I happen to know of someone who is hiring a person with exactly these qualifications, I don't think I'd tell my spiritual partner that the first thing. Because if I did, that's the frightened parts of my spiritual partner wouldn't hear a thing that I'd say afterwards. All they'd be interested in is, tell me about it. What's his name? What company does he work with? Do you know about the job? Who's working there now? Why is the job available? And they will have completely forgotten about creating authentic power. Linda put her finger on it exactly. They would be savior searching. All of the pain that they have suddenly entered would disappear immediately if they knew the name of a person who would give them a job that was better than the one that they had, or any job at all for that matter. So if you are committed to creating authentic power, you will discover for yourself how important it is in your life, how transformative it is. Because as you create authentic power, no matter what experience you encounter, you will see it as an opportunity to learn things about yourself that you need to learn about yourself in order to move beyond your fears. In other words, you begin to see the way the Earth School works. It is continually providing you opportunities to create authentic power. Friends won't help you create authentic power. Most of them don't know what authentic power is. And they'll try to make you feel better. They'll empathize. They'll sympathize. They'll try to fix the problem. But more than that, you've heard on this call the word caretaking. Caretaking means you are trying to change someone else so that you will feel better about yourself. And what you're doing looks like you're doing it for the other person. It looks like you're trying to help the other person, but actually you are attempting to manipulate the other person into feeling better so that you will feel better, so that you'll feel better when the other person feeling better.
So even, you know, I know that it's possible that...
So in other words, our intention today is to focus on how to support spiritual partners. And this may seem a surprising topic for those of you who have just learned about authentic power, and also for those of you who have been creating authentic power for years. Don't forget, this example that I told you about was between two people who were attempting to see themselves as spiritual partners, but neither did. All the first one did was want to get a new job, and all the second one did is think he was helping by providing advice. But it wasn't helping. The only thing that can really help you create authentic power is a spiritual partner to remind you of how the Earth School is working in this moment, which is to bring your attention to how you can use your circumstance to create authentic power. And if you are surprised in this process of discovering that what you are feeling is supporting a spiritual partner, but that it is not actually supporting that person at all, then you have learned something priceless from this call already.
Gary, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I can't hear you very well. Could you adjust your microphone?
Yes. Okay, is there anyone who couldn't hear what I understood, what I shared at all?
Raise your hand by pressing 1 on your keypad if you can't hear Gary.
Okay, that's enough to let me know that some of you didn't hear what I had to say clearly.
Maybe your microphone can be used closer, move closer.
Now, I've just adjusted my microphone. I hope this is helping a little bit. But my general thought was this.
Lori, can you let us know if Gary is heard, can be heard now?
If you can hear me now.
Can you hear him?
Yes, I can. It's much better.
Okay.
Thank you, Lori. I appreciate your letting me know. If you are surprised to realize that there might have been a time when you thought you were supporting a spiritual partner and then discovered later that you weren't supporting that person at all, that you were actually caretaking, or that you were actually attempting to make yourself feel better, or that you were actually attempting to help that person pursue external power, which means change the world so that he'd feel better about himself, which means find a new job so that he won't be in pain and fear and panic anymore. So what I also said was that if I knew someone who was hiring a person just as my spiritual partner appears to be qualified to be, I would not let that be the first thing I tell him, because I could see that he's in a frightened part of his personality. And the first thing he would do is grasp that opportunity to change the world and to take himself out of the pain and the panic that he's in. My intention is to help him create authentic power so that he knows how to do that himself. And he knows how to do that himself by using emotional awareness and practicing responsible choice. So if you are a spiritual partner and you ask for support, and your spiritual partner says something like, well, is what you're saying to me coming from fear or coming from love? Or what was your intention in saying this? Or where are you feeling these things? Then you know that you have a real spiritual partner. But here's the thing. If your spiritual partner is telling you these things with a second agenda to be a teacher, within a second agenda to be superior because they remember something that you aren't remembering, or they know something that you don't know, because they want to be looked up as someone who can give you an answer in your time of need, then that person is not a spiritual partner either. In that case, the spiritual partner is teaching. So just because someone says to you, what are you feeling? Where are you feeling that? Are you talking to me from that part or about that part? It depends upon the intention with which those words are shared. If they're shared in order to feel superior, or to fix you, or to help you pursue external power, then that's teaching. So what we're talking to you about in this call is the difference between supporting and teaching. So in the first example, it's very easy to see. Neither one of the spiritual partners were operating as spiritual partners. neither one was attempting to create authentic power. Both of them were attempting to fix a problem. And that's the creation of authentic power, to fix a problem so that they'll feel better about themselves, so they won't feel
of
panic.
External power?
Yeah.
The definition of external power.
That's the definition of external power, is changing the world so that you'll feel better about yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, in the second example, it's not so immediately obvious, because it appears that person number two is actually trying to help someone become aware of what they're doing so that they can create authentic power instead of pursue external power. And they're asking some excellent questions like, do you think what you're saying to me now is coming from fear or coming from love? Or they might say, do you think you're talking about a part of your personality that's feeling these things, or from a part of your personality that's feeling these things? Now, it's up to the person who is trying to support to discover within himself or herself whether she's actually supporting or teaching. And there can be different reasons for teaching. Caretaking, in order to feel better about yourself, in order to feel superior, in order to be the one with answers, in order to be the one that's helpful. So you, as the one who is receiving this either support or teaching, have some work to do too. Because if the person who is trying to support you is actually teaching, you're going to feel it. It isn't going to feel like support. And it might be confusing because it's teaching that's given in the guise of support. And you won't be sure. You can't be sure because you only know your own intentions. You don't know the intention of the other person. If you feel that somebody is actually using the occasion to teach you or be superior or play a role, and you're reacting to it, it may be because that's exactly what you do. And when you see it in someone else, you recoil from it. You want to push it away, and you do push it away. Or it may be because what you see is actually what the other person is doing. That's why spiritual partners, when they interact with each other, will say things like, I think I see a frightened part active in your personality, but I'm not sure, so I want to share it in case what I think I see might be helpful to you. Well, that puts it in a pretty clear context. The one who is supporting or trying to support is not saying, this is what you're doing, I see it, and here's something you ought to do about it. They're saying, I think I see something in you, and I think it may be a frightened part of your personality. Now, if you say something in that context, and the other person immediately reacts, becomes angry, becomes defensive, says, no, that doesn't happen to me, then that person has some things to think about. Because that kind of angry, defensive response is a sign that that person actually would benefit from listening to what you have to say. So language gets a little clumsy in these areas, but I hope that what I'm saying has been clear.
Well, you know, I was thinking, beloved, why don't we see if anyone has any questions about what we're saying so that we can clarify right now.
Excellent.
And then I have some questions for the other people on the call. But if you have any questions about what we're saying, press 1 on your keypad. We want to clarify everything we're saying because we're saying a lot. So if you could press 1 on your keypad, we'd be happy to answer the question so that we can make it more clear to you. So go ahead and press 1 on your keypad if there are any questions about any of the things we've said so far. Okay, Lisa, I'm going to call on you. Hi, Lisa. Lisa, your microphone's open now.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, thank you so much for addressing this subject. It is very confusing. So, Gary, I understand what you were saying, and then let's say you did know of a position like you were talking about. Would when would be the time you would tell your spiritual partner? How would that be? Thank you.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yes, that is beautiful. I would go back to my intention. Is my intention to support my spiritual partner or to help him get a job? Is my intention to support my spiritual partner in emotional awareness and making responsible choices and using the opportunities that the Earth School is providing him to grow spiritually? Or is my intention to help him feel better about himself immediately? So as long as my intention is not anything other than helping my spiritual partner grow spiritually, I would keep that as my first intention while we're interacting. But it's pretty easy to see when you talk with a spiritual partner, when they really do make a life-changing shift inside themselves, and you can see them shift from panic, from fear, from rage, from humiliation, from impatience, from judgment, into something else. And it may not happen immediately, but you'll see them using their courage. You'll see them challenging a frightened part of their personality. You'll see them doing their best to open to what you're saying, even while frightened parts of their personality, of the personality, does not want to hear what you're saying. This is difficult not to see. For one thing, it will inspire you to see someone creating authentic power from the depth of a frightened part of their personality. When I say depth, I mean a frightened part of their personality that's deep, that's strong, that's old. It brings out your awareness of the courage that requires, of the commitment that requires. And it arises in you compassion for that person. That's what's important. And as you move deeper into creating authentic power, or into someone else's creating authentic power, you'll see that is what is important to them too. And when that's clear, and when they're clear that creating authentic power is more important to them, when they recognize what is happening in their life is an opportunity for them to grow spiritually. After that recognition would be a good time to check your intuition, to use the communication and actions guidelines to see if this would be a good time to share what you think might be helpful.
Right. Right. And it really makes me feel like what I want to do is I would like to have some people share examples of when you were supporting and when you were teaching and how different it felt. So we can make it really clear about what we're talking about. So I want you to raise your hand when you think of a time when you were supporting and then maybe another time when you were teaching, or separate, it can be separate. You can, a time when you were supporting and you knew it and you want to share about that. Share about it briefly. Or when you were teaching and you didn't realize it, and how that felt, the difference between the two. So raise your hand by pressing 1 on your keypad to share some of the things that you, so that everyone can benefit about when you seen something about yourself and when you were really sharing and when you were supporting and whenever you weren't. So go ahead and raise your hand, and I'm going to call on Stephanie right now.
Hello?
Stephanie, yes.
Hi.
Hi.
So, a time that I feel like I was supporting using the authentic power guidelines was with my son. He has autism, and he was in a meltdown. And I asked him to feel his body, to try and tell me where he was hurting inside of his body. And I went through kind of that process that you were talking about of kind of bringing him into more emotional awareness of how he was feeling. And I didn't try to tell him why or how this will help. And it actually did help. Just having him go through that, which was pretty amazing on my end, because that just having that help in that time was great. And then a part of another time when I was teaching, I feel like was with my husband, when I was trying to tell him he was having trouble at his job, where he was having to listen to his boss tell him or make a decision that he didn't agree with, and he wanted to tell his boss. Anyway, it's the whole story. But I was trying to teach him and say, well, this is what you should do, and this is how it should be if you're trying to create authentic power. And he really couldn't even be open to what I was saying, because I was coming from a place of fear, I think. So those are my two examples.
Those are really good examples. Thank you so much, Stephanie. I really appreciate that. Thank you. I'm going to call in Lori now.
Oh, by the way, Stephanie, it might be exactly as you say that your husband pushed away because he didn't want to hear it. And that would be the time for you to look at your intention. Is your intention to say yes, but, and then continue to explain? Would that be the impulse? Because if it would, then you know that that's coming from a frightened part of your personality. But you already knew that you were teaching, and so you were coming from fear.
Well, I wasn't. I now know. At the time, I didn't know. And you're right. That my intention wasn't from love.
Right.
So good that you can see that now. Yeah. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Okay, Lori. I wanted to call on you now.
Hi. Hi, Graham.
Hi, Lori.
For me, I didn't want to raise my hand. I noticed a frightened part of my personality that immediately thought of some different things, but I have a frightened part that thought I'm not going to be able to explain it so people understand, many different thoughts, so I challenged it by pressing one. But the first one that came up for me was with my daughter a few years ago, and she's grown with children, and every time she'd call, I would immediately start giving her advice, just given her advice on whatever she should do. And when I decided I wanted to change our relationship and I looked at myself, I decided I'm not going to do that anymore. I want to do something different. So when something came up where somebody was kind of flirting with her and really wanted to have a relationship with another man, and she didn't know what to do, and she called me, instead of giving advice on what she should do, I helped her look at what she had created and what was going on with her, and she was really able to see things differently and how this wasn't just all this man and being a victim and all that, but really look deeper so she could make a different choice and so she could come from a loving place and do something differently. So.
Excellent. Do you have any examples of when you were teaching? Or are you just saying your daughter, you were giving her advice, and now you're not?
Advice was just my form of teaching. Whenever she would say anything at all, I would say, well, you should do this, or you shouldn't do that, or why did you do this? This would be better. Yeah. So, and just by stopping that changed the whole relationship. And instead of, and I hadn't even realized she'd kind of been avoiding me and only calling me occasionally, to having a true spiritual partnership where we could, you know, really explore what was coming up for both of us. So it was very good.
Mm. Good. Thank you for challenging the frightened part that didn't want to share.
Yeah.
Sharing.
Sure.
Thank you. And
Beverly.
Thanks. Beverly, what about you? Where are you, Beverly? There.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I have myself on mute. I, like Lori, had a big frightened part after I pressed my button because I thought, wait a second, I think I've talked about this before. And then my heart started pounding and I was trying to check in with myself and feel my chest, and it's very tight and my palms sweat, but I'll speak anyway. So I think this has been really good for me because I've been thinking about at work, a time when I'm not supporting is oftentimes if I'm in an emergency room setting and I have patients that come in and with their child and their child is very sick, and I'm realizing that a lot of times I go in and I teach them, and I know that it's teaching in the sense because I'm not coming from a loving place a lot of the times I'm more coming from an annoyed or irritated place that they didn't take care of their child or something, being judgmental. And I realize, you know, this is something I'd like to work on, is to not teach and to come from the most loving place that I can. And I wonder if, you know, the families will be more receptive at times. So that's a time when I realize I'm teaching. And then a time when I wasn't teaching, and this is what I might have spoken about.
I just want to say one thing, Beverly. When you say, I think what you're saying is when you were unconsciously teaching, when you were coming from fear.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And I might say the same thing. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As opposed to coming from a loving place. Because I might say the same things, but it comes from a place of me not being aware of my intention or aware of the fear or anger or judgment that comes behind it.
Right, the disconnection.
Exactly right, Beverly. That's exactly right. And we have talked about this before. Part of your function as a physician is educational, but it's a matter of the intention. If you're speaking with superiority or with impatience, or any of those things that you recognize, that we all recognize, that once we learn to recognize them, then that is not support. That's teaching, and that is the pursuit of external power.
Unconsciously teaching.
Right.
Because you can teach people, as you said, with the energy of love and support.
And that's conscious.
Right.
Sharing. Yeah.
Yes, that's a good point. Yes. Thank you. And what else did you notice?
What else did I notice?
Yeah, you said you were going to say the other side of it.
Oh, the other time, one time when it was probably one of the most clear times for me coming from love, was when I was speaking with a mom whose child had been shot in the head, and you know, was essentially on a ventilator and without much function, and she had started asking me about the soul. And if her child was still there. And so I was able to scan my body and feel and come from a loving place and talk to her about my thoughts on the soul. And that felt very different to me than a lot of the other times when I guess I'm probably unconsciously teaching. So.
Right. Such a difference, isn't it?
Yes,
feel that connection.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a good benchmark. That's, you can cultivate that loving part of your personality as you're doing by remembering it and going back to it.
Right.
So we're going to go into groups very soon, small groups. I would highly recommend, if you haven't had a chance to speak on this call, to be in a small group so that you have a chance to talk about some of these things we've been talking about. They're so important. And there's so many people that have their hands raised. I'm going to maybe take one or two more, and then we're going to go into small groups, just so you know. But please, if you can, stay on the call so you can be talking about these things that will support you in your ability to be able to create authentic power and support others in the same way. So I'm going to call on Pam. Yes, Pam.
Yes, hello. Yeah, hi, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, great. One of the things that happened over the last few months is there's a young lady who does my nails for me. And we have struck up a friendship, but more importantly, we have struck up a spiritual partnership that has just been wonderful. And she had been studying for about a year to pass a, supposed to be a radiology technician to improve her financial situation. And she studied very hard for the test, but she called me after the test because she had not passed the test. And the difference in what I do my best to do now and how I would have done it is this time she said she called me because she knew I would support her spiritually, not kind of commiserate with her or go into the story about what happened. And it just feels, it feels totally different to me. I mean, where before, if I had just said, oh, you know, that's so bad, and sorry you failed, and help her just find ways to control things externally. I mean, I know the difference now between supporting spiritually and supporting to gain external power. So, I mean, and the more I really do my best to create spiritual partnerships, it kind of, it reminded me of what Beverly said. I mean, like for someone to even call me and say that, I know that the connection is there, that deep soul-to-soul connection. Like when Beverly said the mother wanted to talk to her about the soul. So, yeah, it's totally different.
Such a good feeling, isn't it? Such a good feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm going to call in one more person, Sophia. Hello, Sophia.
Hi, Gary and Linda.
Hi.
Thank you for giving me a chance to talk. I've been sort of jack-lagging a little bit, but as I'm listening to everybody, it just dawned on me how far removed I am from, or how little I have retained from the journey, and I thought I did pretty well. But I'm thankful for that, even though, you know, it's scaring me. I guess the fearful part of me has been triggered, realizing how little I have retained from, you know, from the journey this past July. And when Lori talked about giving advice to her daughter, that sort of, and then you explained further, it sort of gave me an aha moment in that I remember how my daughter told me directly, frankly, that Mom, all you do when we talk is you preach. And I could never understand what she meant, because in my little world as a parent, I just feel like I need to extend that help, or what I thought was help, but really was parenting from the fearful part of my personality, which was the biggest discovery that I got when I attended the journey. Mm-hmm. And now I'm reminded that, plus now I'm able to connect the dots even more and realizing further what's been said to me by my own child, and that I wasn't able to recognize or connect okay. on that point.
Yeah.
And
that's really beautiful.
And I am right now speaking from the frightened part of my personality, but I am very hopeful that moving forward, as I'm attending, doing my work, and you know, participating in these talks.
Sophia, you just prefaced what you were saying by, I'm speaking now from a frightened part of my personality. How would you say it differently if you were talking about a frightened part of your personality instead of speaking from it?
My mind's going into a blank right now. I would have to keep reminding myself that there is many parts of my frightened parts of personality that's easily triggered, and I will have to keep challenging it and try to talk from the loving part of my personality, maybe.
Well, keep experimenting with that. It wasn't your mind that went blank. It was a part of your personality that was engaged in telling its story.
Okay, all right.
And and what you were considering is shifting to an entirely different perspective instead of the perspective of that part of your personality with that story, that it hopes it can do this, that it hopes it can be better, etc.
Yeah.
There's another perspective, and that would be healthy as you begin to explore it. That is talking, you don't have to talk to us about it now, but to your family, to others, about that part of your personality. So I suggest that's what you do next, and not try to do it now, but just allow yourself to shift, to experiment with that question.
So, Sophia, this is the thing. I feel like it's really good that you're seeing something really clearly. This is a big insight that you're having about what your daughter has been saying to you and what we've been talking about today about teaching and giving advice, and instead of really connecting and supporting someone. So this is really good. And you are in the masterclass immersion, so you're going to continue to learn more. We're going to have our event in a few weeks. You're going to be immersed in doing your life explorations and all of that. So this is a very good place for you to be. It takes a long, well, for me, I've been learning about authentic power for many years, and I continue to learn. It's not something that, well, I, you know, learn it, go to one retreat and learn all about authentic power. No, it's a continuous practice for me, and I'm always learning more about how I can be more loving and less fearful all the time. So I'm really grateful that you spoke about this. This is so good. And now we're going to go on. Thank you, Sophia. Now we're going to go on to our circles. Yeah, we're going to go on to putting you into your groups. So if you can stay on, definitely do that. You're going to be in groups of probably 4, maybe 5 people. So what I want you to do is, I know people may have to leave now, so if you do, go ahead and do that now so that we can begin with the people who can stay now. So what we're going to do is I want you to just close your eyes for a moment and just, I want you to, if it's safe to close your eyes, just recall a situation where you experienced that knowing how to support would have created very different results. If you knew how to do that, it would have created different results. And let your intuition guide you to open to the situation or people that you did not know how to support at the time. So just open yourself to that situation, that person. Do that now. And how would you change what you said or did if you had known how to support them? Stay open and listen for the answer to that. How would you? How would you do that now? Now that you know more about supporting, what would you do differently? Just open yourself right now to the answer to that. Now I want you to open your eyes, if you have them, and I'd like you to, we're going to open up the microphones, and I want you to briefly say your name. So everyone in the group, say your name, and then just say, if you say your name first, say I'll be first. If you say your name second, say I'll be second. And then just start right in on what you want to say. Once everyone's introduced themselves, then go right into what you're experiencing, how you would do it differently about something that happened before. So go ahead and start that right now. You'll have about a minute, and then we'll say a couple more things. So what we're going to do right now, I'm going to close the microphones just for a minute, and I want you to, if you've already started with the first person, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and continue if you've already started. And so we're going to give each person about a minute to talk about what, you know, how they would do something, how they would do it differently when they found that they weren't supporting, how would you do it differently now? Or if you know of a situation where you want to do it differently, how would you do that? So you can just practice talking about that with each other. You'll each have a minute. So I'm going to have the first person go ahead and start, and then I'll ring the chime when it's time for the next person to start. So we'll go ahead and open the microphones up, and I'll ring the chime. So go ahead and start if you're number one person. Okay, switch to the second person now in your group. Go ahead and do that now. You'll have a minute.
Linda, are you there?
Yes.
This is public, and the breakouts have all just changed to one breakout. Everything disappeared. Everybody's raising their hands. I don't know what just happened.
Okay. Hello, everyone.
So we're going to...
I understand that our breakout groups did not work. So for some reason, something happened. And everyone is in the same breakout group, so there's probably a lot of people talking at once. So what we're going to do, since there is no breakout group right now, okay, so what we're going to do, what I want to do is just call on a few people and find out what you would have done in that situation. So I've got a lot of hands up. I don't know if you are talking about what we were going to do in the breakout session, but I'm going to go ahead and call on you. So I'm going to call on, I'm going to call on Steve. Steve, what would you do differently if you could do it again when you noticed a time when you weren't supporting and you could have?
Hello, you can hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good. Yeah, the example I was just sharing as I was first was with my oldest. He's 14, and he's got a little bit of an Asperger and quirkiness, and I have a frightened part that feels impatient and angry that he just, you know, can't do things you know, right away, and we have to repeat ourselves and socially this quirkiness. And when Gary was speaking, I just heard the word compassion, and that's my intention, is just to really check in and see how I feel when I speak from that frightened part, when I speak to him, and I just want to be loving and feel compassion and change my perspective and go from love and compassion instead of fear.
Indeed. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And what about you, Brian? Brian.
Hi.
Hi, Brian. What about you?
How are you? So I'm here. I'm very confused, not about any of the information, but about all the feelings that I'm processing. I've noticed that this week's life exploration is kind of tied into a little bit of the topic for me about uh-huh. support and about, and a word that comes up is irritability. And so a couple of the things I've been thinking about, and I had one example that I was going to share with the group, and when somebody else started talking, I felt something different come up. And that is about the relationship that I have with my son. I've noticed that, you know, we had the opportunity to be at the Journey together in July, and I noticed a real shift in our relationship, and because we were coming, you know, we're both in a place where we were in a different connection. And I've noticed recently that I'm not treating him, or a frightened part of my personality is not reacting to him the same way as I did back in July, and even a couple of months after we got home. I noticed that I've kind of fallen, my frightened part of person, my personality has fallen back into that role as a father, and my traditional thoughts of what a role of a father is. And so what I want to do differently is, you know, I want to reconnect with him. Because the stuff that we shared at the Journey was really powerful. And, you know, that's the kind of connections that I keep coming back for and trying to learn about to create. And that's it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful to see you have something to strive for, because you can see how different it can be. And now you can notice when those frightened parts come up and challenge them. So beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Paul? I'm going to open your microphone.
This topic is so huge for me because my default is to go into teaching mode, and I think that for me, I just have to really just be present with my feelings and emotions and really try to find that healthiest part of me, which for me, since the Journey, has been really a challenge to, again, try to get to the compassion and love. And I think what we talked about today was the intention. And my intention, you know, is going to be more to come from that more loving, compassion side to, with my wife especially, as I want to change her, as opposed to just appreciate the challenges she's facing on a day-to-day basis, you know, with the things we talk about. So that's the thing I'm going to have to do, is really challenge my frightened parts, which apparently are very active when it comes to everything we've talked about today. So
that's why.
Go ahead.
That's why you're here, Paul. You're here to do that. You're here to be aware of all those frightened parts, whenever they come up, and as soon as you can to challenge them, and to have compassion for yourself when you realize that you aren't doing that, because then another frightened part comes up to make you wrong. You know, so it's so important, you know, to really continue to practice. Authentic power is new in the human experience. Most people don't even know they have a choice. They think when they feel irritable or they're angry or they feel superior that that's who they are, or jealous. They don't realize they have a choice and that they can actually feel that part of them and choose a loving part to act from, even though they, knowing that they don't want to, you know, cover it over, but to feel it fully in their body as an emotional, you know, as a physical sensation. And not let it control you. Instead, choose loving parts. And it takes time to do that. It takes practice and more practice. And that's why spiritual partners are so important. And it's so good that you're in the masterclass immersion, so you can continue to practice it over and over again. Really exciting.
Thank you, Erin. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate it. Yeah. And what about you, Sarah? I'm going to open up the microphone for you. Yes.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
I didn't realize I hadn't realized I had my hand raised, but
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
So are there times when you, are there things that you want to shift or you see that you're not being supportive and you'd like to be more supportive of people in your life?
Yeah, one thing that came up when I had my eyes closed was I can think of times when I was doing what Gary said before about like I was technically following the rules of what we're supposed to say and questions that we're supposed to ask, but I wasn't doing it from a loving part. And that was really interesting for me to notice that. And so, yeah, it's just, I'm just noticing how important it is for me to really pay attention to my intention for even speaking at all.
and your emotions.
In a situation like that. Yeah.
And your emotions. Yeah. To feel what's going on in your body, to notice your thoughts, to be aware of your intention, because if you're not, then frightened parts of your personality will control your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
isn't
I really want to continue Yeah, it's really amazing. So that's what I want to shift, is really paying attention to that and being clear.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm going to call on Amalia. Amalia, hello. I'm going to unmute your microphone. There you are. Hi.
Hello. So my mom called me the other night, and she called with a story about some health results she had received from her husband and was really in a place of fear, and I really had to sit with that conversation during the conversation and not, I wanted to set my intention to not engage with her from a place of fear myself. And so I set my intention to really support her soul during this conversation and asked her the question, you know, well, how could you be of most support to yourself in as you move forward in this situation? Because that's all I could really come up with at the time, and it felt really good to say that, but when she responded, she said, oh, I don't know why I called you, but not in a derogatory way. She was just, it was more of a thoughtful way, and that triggered a frightened part in me, because my frightened part said, oh, I'm not giving her the support she called me for, like she really wants to engage in this conversation or have a solution or something at the end of it. And so then I launched into giving her advice, and immediately I felt the pain of that and a disconnect. And I think if I did that differently next time, I think I would want to just hold the space for her to sit with that question of how she could support herself during this time and not, I think that's how I would do it differently. I think it would have been more loving to do that.
Well, I really appreciate it. It was interesting that your mom said one thing. She said, I don't even know why I called you. And as soon as she said that from her frightened part, you started doing what you usually do.
Yeah.
Non-frightened part. So how good to see that. Isn't it powerful?
Mm-hmm.
So powerful. Because when you can watch what happens when someone speaks from a frightened part, watch what happens in yourself. Notice when frightened parts of your personality become active. Then you have the power to feel them and not act from them. So you can faster realize that your mom activated a frightened part that wanted to give advice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate it. It was really, really good. And what's happened is that you are actually in new groups and you can stay on as long as you like. We're going to open up the microphone soon, and you can continue to talk about what we've been talking about today, about supporting versus teaching, about how you could do it differently or when you did, you know, all those kinds of things. And you can stay on for as long as you like. There'll be new people in your group, so reintroduce yourself. For some reason, the...
Yes, this would be very interesting because now you'll have some new people to interact with and expand your perceptions.
Indeed, indeed. So,
we'll be leaving now.
We're going to be leaving the call, but we're going to open up the microphone. So introduce yourselves and begin to talk. And like I said, you could stay on as long as you'd like. And it's been really, really great to be with you on the call today. Really, really great.
And what a lovely... What a lovely topic to share our time exploring. Are you supporting or are you teaching?
Absolutely. And we'll see you next month in November, and some of you will see it earlier than that at the event.
At the
Masterclass
Immersion
event. Bye now, everyone.
Bye-bye.